Dear Heavenly Father, we are so thankful we can come together and just praise your name, and you are the God that saves. And so, Lord, we just give this time to you, and we do celebrate the mothers in this congregation and just, you know, how special they are, and we just ask your blessing upon them in a supernatural way, God. So thankful. And Lord, we're thankful for your word that reveals to us just your love for us and how you move in our lives and show us things that truth and how you are moving and what your view of us and the world is. And so I just pray you just open my mind and heart and just I'd speak things of the Spirit and that every heart would be able to receive of the Spirit. So we look into your word and ask you to come meet with us. And give us insight in the name of the Lord Jesus. Amen. Hallelujah. Well, we're in the little book of Jude. You know, it's easy to find. You go to Revelations, it's a book just before that. Second to the last book. So we're going to look this morning at the first two verses. And it says this. Jude chapter 1, verse 1. To those who are called, beloved in God the Father, and kept by Jesus Christ, may mercy, peace, and love be multiplied to you. Now, the title to the message this morning is You Are Special. So this is really a special meeting because it's Mother's Day. Okay, you are special. All right, so anything I say here this morning about being special, the ladies can just times it by two. Or more, times it by 10, maybe. So it's more impactful for you as I mentioned this, that you are special, and we hold you in high esteem. And so although we could just apply it to mothers and like that, and that'd probably be good, but there's a more general sense in the verse, a little more general sense in the verse, is that it gives a clear statement of how God views us. And I think that's really important that we understand how God views us. And I mentioned last week, when you look at Jude isn't a book of correction. It's not saying these people done anything wrong. In fact, the book is saying, man, you guys are great. I want to warn you, there's some things that you will need to be aware of. And so it's kind of a protective book. So it's really very positive as he's speaking to these people who have come to know, these people who have come to know Christ. And so as we have come to put, you know, Christ as our Savior, this is what he thinks of us. So just, you know, that's what I want each of you individually say. This is what God is speaking to you, and this is how he thinks of you. And so, and with that access or that commitment to Christ, believing in Christ, we have access to all the power of God. Now, the Bible is real clear about that. Now, we may not live it out, but it's real clear. You're the beloved, and you have access to all the power of God. And that's one of the things the Bible does is try to tell us, you know, who we are and that we do have access and how to walk in that. So it's, you know, sometimes people look at the Bible and say, well, this book is a condemnation. And it's really the opposite. It's a book of, you know, encouragement. Say, this is who you really are. Everybody else is telling you something different. And God is trying to convince us who we really are with him. And what I want to do is just look at this. It's fascinating. And look at the words he uses here and get the depths of the meaning. And so that we can be really, really be encouraged. Now, the first one says, to those who are called. Now, a lot of times that's just, you know, can be equal to Christians. You're called, you're Christians, same thing. But it's interesting, the word has another meaning, which I'm going to use in this session this morning. Another word is invited. You're the called, you're the invited. That means you are the invited. So we have been invited into God's presence. He has made an invitation to us. And it's like we've been invited to the party, You know, so, oh, they're having a big party and they didn't invite me. He goes, no, you've been invited to the party. You're invited to the party. And so just to grasp what he's saying here, says, you are the invited, the ones who I'm talking to. And so we have been invited to the party because we are beloved. Are you feeling better already? Okay. He says, I'm inviting you to the party because you are beloved. So he set this up about who we are. And we're still going, I don't know. I'm not that good. I probably shouldn't have got the invitation. They probably just put me on there by accident or something. No, you haven't, you know, because you are the beloved and you have been invited. The invited are the beloved. So right there, that puts the status of who we are in God's eyes. And God identifies his people. He identifies his people in both the Old Testament and the New Testament as they call the invited, the beloved. He calls them the same thing in both of those that come to him. In fact, if you want to look with me at Deuteronomy chapter 7, verse 6, and it says this. Deuteronomy chapter 7, verse 6, and it says this. For you are a people holy to the Lord your God. Now, okay, if you've read the Old Testament, you've read about the Israelites, and you read through up through Deuteronomy, and you're thinking, like, you can count on one hand anything you've seen them do holy. Okay, but God's not saying. He said, no, I called you out. He says, you are a people holy to the Lord. He invited them. The Lord your God has chosen you to be a people for his treasured possession out of all the peoples who are on the face of the earth. You're my beloved. You know, he goes on to call the Israelites the apple of his eye. And so here's something we should kind of think on, is it communicates to us as we live in this world, as we try to, you know, get through everything that's going on, like when we get tired, you know, like you get down, you get overwhelmed, you know, you feel like nobody cares. I mean, every night, just like something. I mean, just think of something, how you felt sometime this week. It's just, Lord, why am I here? I just did. I'll never get out of it. It's just not going to work. I am so tired. Nobody cares. Nobody cares. Well, this is when we must grasp. God goes, no, that's not the truth. You're the invited. You're the invited, you know. You're the beloved. You're his treasured possession. We are the ones under his watchful eye. I mean, so he's really trying to communicate something to us as we look at this. Say, you're just, I don't know, you try to make up some sort of example. It's Monday and you had this, you know, invitation last week. You're invited to this party. You're really looking, going for it. It's lots of fun. And, you know, somebody rear-ends you at the stoplight, you know, then you go there, you try to get it picked up, then the guy that's supposed to pull the car, you know, he takes it to the wrong dealer, and then you have to get that, and then you have to pay to get back there, and then you get the car back, and then now you have a late afternoon call with your mother, and she's talked about this, and she wants you to come the same day as the party. And you go, what? You know, and so all this stuff's coming in, and then you get the, you know, call from the school and says, can you come in and see us about your son? It's like, you know, and it's like, God, what are you doing? He said, hey, don't worry about it. You're invited to the party. See, you're invited to, that stuff is happening. I'll take care of it. Remember, you're invited to the party. That never changed. That never changed. Yeah, you got to do all this. But just remember, you're invited to the party, and I'll help you work through all this other stuff. See, that's what he's telling us. That's what he's telling us here. And he's telling you, I want you to remember that you're the invited, that you are the beloved. Is junk happening? Yeah. Junk of life is happening. I never promised that you could get out of it, all right? It happens, and it's an opportunity, a divine opportunity for you to witness and share with them. You know, that's me just throwing that in there. But it's like, but the point of it is, you get the point of what God is saying. You know, he's, man, you're under pressure. You got all these things going. I don't know how you're going to get through it either. Man, this is a mess. You know, and that's how we think about it. But he said, no, don't worry about it. Yes, you'll get through it. Yes, it's hard. Yes, it's difficult. Yes, everybody's irritating you. However, you're invited to the party, and you're going to have a lot of fun. You get there. What are you going to focus on? See, what are you going to focus on? And what you focus on, your feelings will reflect. Will reflect. I told my son not to do that 100 times. And just driving you crazy. If I get him, when I get a hold of him, and you're so upset that you'll remember that all the way through the party. You know, as he's there, you're so upset. And God said, no, you're doing this wrong. Set your eyes on the party, and everything's going to work out, and work on the things necessary to get up there, but don't lose sight of where you're going. Now, of course, we're talking about a bigger party, and we're talking about a heaven, and we're talking about the presence of God. But the same thing, that is what he's actually talking about here. That's just an example. And he said, you are the invited ones. See, you are the invited ones. Hey, you're in the office with mothers with, you know, two boys. We'll throw a girl in there, and a girl, you know, it's like, oh, they all got the same problems going through it, but you're invited to the party. Okay, you know, says, I'm going to get over this, and I get to go to the party. Y'all just stuck with your kids all week, nothing happening. But you, anyway, you see what I'm saying? He's telling us this. You are the invited, and you are the beloved in God the Father. And then it tells us that we need to persevere through these things, because we are under the watchful eye of God. We're under his watchful eye. Why? Because we are in the invited. We are the beloved, and he's going to make sure we get to the party. You see what I'm saying? Yeah, we got this stuff, but he is watching us. Okay, we're invited. We are the beloved. Nobody loves me. Nobody cares. Nobody's helping me do anything. True. But you're beloved by God, and you're invited to the party, and you can go. I'll make sure you go. You see? So this is what he's saying to these people. Now, he's about to tell them, says, you got some bad people coming in, you know, but you can get through this. That's what he's telling. I'm telling you about some bad people are coming, but you can get through this. So just think, persevere. Persevere. I had a very encouraging a note that actually it was on Messenger. Okay, Messenger. Somebody who had moved a long time ago, and, you know, their children were grade school, I guess, something like that. And anyway, one of their daughters graduated, and I just replied. I said, it just miss you all so bad. I can't believe this has happened. It looks like things are working out with her. They gave her a few, she gave them a few challenges. And, you know, so I just hope everything works out. You know, kind of a slap on Messenger. And what she replied, the mother replied, says, thank you so much. Says, I'll never forget you telling me the one thing I have to do. Are you ready? I said, great insight I had for her. The one thing I had to do is persevere. And she remembered that, but the truth of it, that's what it is. How do you get from Monday to when Friday the party is? You know, you're going to persevere and go through the things. And God says, I put my eye on you. I'm watching you. You're going to the party. We'll make sure you're there. But you got to go through all this stuff. And maybe those things are true. Maybe the people around you don't care. Maybe the people around you are not helping. But it makes any difference, because that doesn't dictate your behavior. What dictates your behavior is just you're going to the party that God invited you to. You see? And that's how you take your thinking, all right? And it takes you off of all those things that are happening during the week, because you have your eyes set upon what God has said is the truth. Amen? And so this is what, I didn't hear a very strong amen on that. I think y'all are still worrying about the kids in the office that you got to go see. You're like, no, it's an amen. It's amen. That's what God said. You need to look on that fact, because we persevere because God is watching over us. We don't persevere. It's like, because I'll work this out. I'll get this done. No, that just adds more pressure, and you are more upset than you ever were. See, it's like, no, I know God will get me through this, therefore I'm going to persevere, because I know I'm invited to the party and I'm His beloved, and I'm going to persevere through this because it will work out. See, this lady, she came out, her daughter did graduate from high school, which was a real concern at one time. But she did, you know, and said, persevere. That's what she learned. Okay, so therefore, but we persevere because we're under the watchful eye of God, not because we're tough and just suck it up and do it. No. We understand we're under the watchful eyes of God. And then also, and I'm going to use this Deuteronomy, you know, and is God's treasured possession. Beloved, that's what the beloved are. They are God's treasured possession out of all the people who are on the face of the earth. Now, a lot of times we share, and that's a question. Well, what about this person didn't know Jesus? This person knows Jesus. Now, what do you do about all those people? And I said, I don't know, you know, but I know Jesus. And that makes me God's treasured possession. Out of all the people there, I'm God's treasured possession. Well, that's arrogant. I said, no, really, you can be also. You can be also God's treasured possession out of all the people in the world. See, it's a different view of that, about our position, what it is that we are His treasured possession out of all the peoples who are on the face of the earth. And then it goes on and says this, we are kept by Jesus. Now, this is like the introductory verse to Jude. And I'll warn you, next week we're going to go through the like 15 verses that he goes through of what the bad people did. He says, I mean, it's just almost, in fact, I'll confess something to you. I was going to do it this morning. I thought, that's just not going to go over good on Mother's Day. I just not. We're going to have to skip a week here. But you see what he's telling them. He's building them up. Said that, yeah, there's bad stuff happening. Bad stuff happened in the past. But I want you to know who you are. And you're doing fine. I want you to know who you are. That's all he's trying to do, is tell us here. And that he, you know, and that he is the one who's invited us. And we are his beloved. And therefore, it says, he will keep us. We are kept in the Lord. Now, if you notice that, when you look at that verse, you know, called beloved in God the Father and kept. And kept by Jesus Christ. So not only are we beloved and invited, we're kept. And that word kept means to literally guard from loss and keep an eye on them. Ever, if you've got more than one child, keep an eye on Johnny. You'd be, okay. You go, he locked in. Well, God is saying, I'm telling Jesus, keep an eye on them. Keep an eye. So we're kept in Christ. He actually keeps us. So now tie all this together. You're invited. You're beloved, and then Jesus keeps us. So that make sure we get to the party. See? You see what I'm following? He put all those things together. Jesus makes sure we get to the party. God gives the invitation, my beloved, and now Jesus. This is a statement of fact, you know, and are kept by Jesus Christ. Jesus makes sure we get to the party. Now, all God's people said, amen. Yeah. I mean, kids in the principal's office, car breaking down, you know, phone calls out of the blue. And it's like, no, he'll make sure you get to the party because we're kept in Christ. So where does our eye needs to be? Where does our thoughts need to be? I'm kept in Christ. I'm beloved and I'm kept. Okay, I can get through this. So your attitude changes. Nothing changed. I mean, everything still happened, but you're view, your attitude changed about it. Well, what if Jesus can't keep me? Okay. Well, now see, there's another issue popping up. Because Jesus can keep you. You know, he can keep you like that. And God, and we're God's beloved, and he makes sure that Jesus keeps us. We are kept. And so he's going to keep his eye on us. And Jesus guards us and keeps his eye on us because he bought us with a price. I mean, this is probably not appropriate for church, but anyway, people say, oh, you have any skin in the game. You need to hear people there. You have anything. You got any skin. Jesus has lost skin in the game. No, I died for these people. I bought them for a price. Yeah, I'll keep watch over them. See, he's got Jesus' skin in the game. right there. So he will keep us because he cares about us. And so so there's a motivation. He paid the penalty for us and bought us for a price. He took our sin and died for us. And this divine love provides eternal peace, safe in his arms. Now, so again, so a lot of times we read over quickly these introductions. I mean, this introduction, like he said, hey, you guys are doing great. You are the bull. Love those invited and kept by Jesus Christ. You're doing good. Now, I'm going to share about 15 verses. It's going to blow your mind. But you're okay. You're okay. You're absolutely okay. And you're kept in the Lord Jesus Christ. You're safe. And they're saying, okay, we can take anything you dish out to us. The attitude change. What they read afterward, it's not going to build any anxiety, any fear, or nothing. They're going to say, no, we got this. Okay, we're not. Or when it actually happens at the time, say, okay, no, we're okay. We can do this. See how the attitude changes? It's in your mind. I mean, we know it. It's in our mind. It's in our mind. See, before the car broke down, we were fine. Why? Because it wasn't in our mind. But when it breaks down, now it's in our mind, but also is in our mind. No, God will take care of this. I know he's going to provide the way out. So that's in our mind that overrides the problem that's in our mind. Okay. So God, and that's why he's telling us. God is truly telling us these things. And he says, you know, and he's telling us this, I am a refuge, like a refuge. You go in here and you put, I'm okay. Car's going to get fixed. I'm okay. My kids will live till their 18th birthday. Okay, I'm okay. You know, see, you put yourself in a refuge. Well, in Deuteronomy 33:27, it says that. Deuteronomy 33:27, the eternal God is your refuge. What do? Each time you put that on, you put that on. The eternal God is our refuge. You see, that's where our mind is. And then it says, and underneath are his everlasting arms. You're invited to the party. He is your refuge. And underneath that is his everlasting arms. We're okay. See where our mind is? And all of a sudden it's like, no, we're special. We're okay. We are okay. And we have our eyes fixed on that. And then he goes on and he says this. He says, in God's everlasting arms, we have abundance and the multiplication of mercy. Now, what mercy is important. Oh, I'm going to get hit with a baseball bat. He says, no, I'm going to take that away. Okay, that's mercy, you know. Oh, you know, this is going. He says, no, he takes that away. It's different than forgiveness. He's showing mercy. He's not going to let it happen. So he's going to give us what? Mercy. He's going to give us mercy. And then he also is going to give us peace. Now, why do we have peace? Because our focus is on God, our refuge, not the broken down car. Therefore, we have peace. Yep, it's broken down, but it'll work out. Some will do this. As I know I'm beloved and invited, and I'll get to the party. See, so we're focused on the party and God. Therefore, we have peace. What makes us not have peace is the broken down car. God doesn't say, you're not having a broken down car. He says, no, think upon me when you have the broken down car. And I will take you through it. So that you have peace because of the situation that happens around you. And so when you look at this, he has peace. He has our eye on us. And then he says, and the abundance of love. See, all this junk that happens, you get frustrated and mad, and, you know, it's like you can't show that love because of all the static that's happening around you. You see what that is? So you have love because you're not worried about this. Hey, I'm beloved by God. Therefore, I don't have all that static. It's easier for me to love others, but also to love God back because I'm his beloved and he's taking care of me. Hallelujah. See, but that tells us a lot because our mind gets us in a jam over real things. We don't make up things. They're real things. But do we lock our mind on it or do we lock on our mind on that we're invited and the beloved of God and kept in Jesus Christ in this world, in this world right here. It says we will be filled to capacity with all these things. We'll be filled to capacity with mercy, love, and peace. Why? Because God's invited us and we're His beloved. Now, do you see God's view in all this as He looks down on us? As He looks down on us? See, that's what He's seeing. And so He's communicating to us to learn how to walk in this, to learn how to walk in this. And this goes back, we are special. We are the invited, is the beloved of God, and therefore Jesus will keep His eye on us. Now we got that, we're going to say hallelujah. Amen. Everybody say hallelujah, hallelujah. Okay. Now you know what happens. I'm just telling you what happens. Before you get out this door, something's going to happen. It's like you're going to step out, you're going to look at your car, it's got four flat tires. I mean, it's impossible, but it's going to happen. You know, hey, praise Jesus. No, everybody think you're nuts, and you'll be thinking, no, that there's no praise Jesus to that. But that's what's going to happen. Something is going to happen that seems impossible. Something's going to happen that can't be. I can't believe He did that. See, I can't believe that happened to me. And it seems, the situation seems so bad, so endless, so hopeless, we don't see how it ever can change. Right? We don't see how it can ever change. It's too hopeless. Too hopeless. Like what the scripture says, nothing's impossible with God. You know why? Because you are invited, you are beloved, and you are kept by Christ. He's got His eye on us. See, we misinterpret that to say nothing will go wrong. And the Bible never says that. It never says that nothing will go wrong. It doesn't. But it does say you set on your eyes upon Him, and then you can have mercy, love, and peace. You know. But as soon as your eyes get off of Him, then the fear jumps over. And you remember what happened? Peter, God bless him. He sees Jesus walking on the water. He says, Jesus, call me. I'll walk. He calls him. He gets out and he's walking. Look at this. Man, this is him. Well, look at this. And he looks over at the waves and the wind. He said, this is nuts. What was I thinking? And he sinks. See? He took his eyes off Jesus. And Jesus, thank God, reached and grabbed him by the hand, because I think he really was sinking. He grabbed him. And what did he say to Peter? Oh, you of little faith. See? But he's good. I mean, that's a big step. Let me get out of the boat and come to you. Okay. I mean, that was a big step. He said, I can just, how many times you get halfway and go, whoa, what was I thinking? This is, you know. See, because he took his eyes off Jesus. And that's all this is saying right here. You got to keep your eyes on Jesus and what He said, and then therefore you have peace, mercy, love. So this is all in the introduction here. And so, again, and when we do things, we just don't see how it's changed. We don't see it's going to happen. Then what do we normally do? We waver and we stumble. Right? And we're all gifted at wavering and stumbling, aren't we? You don't have to raise your hands because I know it's a true statement. And it's a true statement for me. You know, you waver and you stumble because you take your eyes off of Jesus. Therefore, this next verse, and actually the next two, it's not the next two, it's the last two verses. So I went from the beginning to the end. But look at Jude 24 and 25, chapter 1, 24 and 25. So this is the time when we're, you know, halfway to Jesus, walking on the water, and we see the waves and the wind. It's like, okay, now we've got to remember, keep our eyes on Jesus, you know. And because he's the one that has all this to happen, and He is our protector, and he's the one who has our eyes on it. So when the stuff comes out, okay, we know this intellectually, but when the stuff hits us, we have to remember and make an application. And it was really wrapped up here in Jude 24 and 25. And again, what's in between these verses is like, man, look at all this stuff that can happen and did happen in the past. I'm just letting you know, I'm warning you. So he ends with this, and he says, so the message is to the people who see the waves and the wind are about to stumble, about to fall. He goes this, now to him who is able And we could just stay there for a long time. Now to him who is able. Who is able? God, the Lord Jesus. Now to him who is able to keep you from stumbling and to present you blameless before the presence of his glory with great joy, to the only God, our Savior, through Jesus Christ, our Lord, be glory, majesty, dominion, and authority before all time and now and forevermore. Now to him who is able to keep you. I mean, that just that piece is good. Now to him who is able to keep you. The car won't start and they're taking it to the wrong dealer. Now to him whose God is able to keep you. You get the phone call, your son's in the principal's office. Now to him, it's God, he's able to keep you. See, you're locked in. You're locked in. Okay, something's going to come out of this. So that's how he locks this in. Now to him who is able to keep you. Where are your eyes? On the car that's being towed off? On your son who's in the principal's office, you know? And it's like, yeah, that's a hard one. But it's now to him who is able to keep you. You see? This is God telling us something. Now, again, we see the 15 verses or so before that. He unloads on this is what's happening. You're thinking, oh, good gosh, we need to move or something. You know, it's like, holy cow. But he, no. Now to him who is able to keep you. And so we see this. We must remember that as the invited, the beloved, the kept, God's treasure possession, we are different. We have hope because we give all things to him who is able to keep us from falling. You see? It's there. It's a change of confidence, a change of look, and it's a reality for Christians. But our whole life we've been taught something else, and it's hard to make that adjustment and to have that peace because our eyes on God who is able. And you know about most of the things we try to fix, I don't know about you, most of the things I try to fix, I can't fix. And so many of the times when I try to fix them, I actually make them worse. It's just like, and so it's like, now to him who is able. Now to him who is able. Now, this word too, it's interesting. We talked about cap. Now this word, it means keep, will keep us from falling. This word has a little different meaning to it. Or in the original, the word keep means to stand guard, implying custody and protection. Now him who is able, who's standing guard and providing protection and custody. He's there. He's the one that keeps it. He's given the protection, you know. And like with me, it's hard to keep up with me because I'm running one thing to the other thing trying to fix it. You know, I'm running away from my custody, you know. And I think every once in a while, Lord said, do you think you can fix it? Go at it, you know. When you crash and burn on that one, I'll come over because you stop. You know, keep. So these are powerful words here. That it's implying that he is giving custody over us and he's keeping protection over us. This reminds us, okay, this reminds us of God's ability to care for us no matter what the circumstances are. No, how many of you thought, my situation is worse than anybody's I've ever seen? It's you can't believe how bad it is. You can't, you know, and a lot of times, you know, I'll do counseling, and I found out a lot of times people will come in counseling, and what they tell me is what's going on, but they want to convince me that there's no possible help for them. That's what they want to convince me, and they want me to say, you know, you're right. That is the worst mess I've ever seen. There's no help for you. And they say, I knew it. You know, that's what they want to hear. You know, so we have that tendency is, oh, you can't believe how bad this is. No one's gone through this. You know what Solomon said, there's nothing new under the sun. And there's one thing about there's not many things, but there's a few things like getting older, like hitting the 70s, you know, like that. Is that verse. You look at it and you go, nothing's new under the sun. And it's after, I mean, you meet with people, you don't ever say this. It's like, Can you believe that? And I don't say there's nothing new under the sun. You know, but it helps you because you've gone through it before. You can give them insight like that. Yeah, they said, well, that was brilliant. And I said, I know, because I did the same thing you did, and it didn't work. And I just someone would tell you what you can do now. You know, but that's the reason you should go to old counselors. They've made so many mistakes, they won't lead you wrong. But it reminds us the whole bit that we look to the Lord in those situations, so he's trying to encourage us. So, and here's the thing, and this is a big one, you know, have to balance this out. When facing temptation and stuff, we must not depend on our personal inner strength. You know? God tells us not to. I can get it done. And you know what you do when you persevere and gut through and just get it done like that? You go, praise me. Praise me. I can do that. And God is so faithful. He'll give you something tougher. Tougher. At one point, you'll go, I can't do this. And all the angels in heaven are going, hallelujah. You know, and it's because now he'll listen. Now he'll listen, you know, because he got to a point he can't do it anymore. And some of us are more hard-headed than others, and so we need more trials and difficulties because God loves us so much. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Now, so God is the one who is able to keep us from falling. He is the one that keeps us from falling. This means that it is our duty to keep ourselves in God's love by maintaining a steady gaze upon God. See, and that is so, it's so simple in a way, just to have God in the forefront of our mind, considering all things before him, that there is strength and protection in that and opens our eyes to what's going on around us. But you see, it's our vision. It's our vision. Who do we have our eyes on? Which God tells us in all sorts of other places. And God is the one that is actively protecting and bringing us blamelessly before his throne. God is actively protecting us all the time. We are going to go through stuff. But God is in the stuff, protecting us to bring us out of the stuff. And we're always smarter in after we come out of the stuff, if we learn what God's teaching us. And that's all that's saying here. We are special. The grace of divine strength and ability is available to all those who will draw upon it. Now, here's a fascinating thing as we look into the church. You know, is the church is an object of God's love. It's the beloved. And what he's doing, he's trying to make all the believers fit to bring into his presence. He is bringing the believers fit to bring into his presence through the perfect sacrifice of Jesus Christ. We just continue appropriating the blood of Christ. I'm forgiven. And we keep moving and keep growing. And God leads us and leads the church to a place where he wants to be. Amen? I mean, it's a very, very simple of what's going on. But he knows things are going to happen, but he wants us to bring through us because we've been chosen. Ephesians 1:4 says this, he chose us in Christ. When did you think he chose us in Christ? He chose us. Someone said it there. He chose us in Christ before the foundation of the world that we should be holy, blameless before him. We were beloved before the foundation of the world. We were invited. Now, he verbally invited when we make a decision, and you know, and he grows in that situation. We will be presented before God, who is the only God, our Savior, through Jesus Christ, our Lord, whose attributes are glory, majesty, dominion, and authority. And that last part of that verse says, our God was before all time and now and forever. Wait a minute, that's a big span of time. That's a lot. Our God was before all time and is now and is forever. Hebrews 13:8 says this, Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. No matter what's going on now or what lies ahead, Christ will remain unchanged. Unchanged. Our Christian conduct is based on this. Jesus never changes. Christ will never be superseded. You know, you hear this, and it's kind of funny, because we do grow and we develop and we expand, you know, but you hear this. Well, this is the new way. This is the new culture. This generation is bringing about new thinking. This is about, you know, and things are changing. You know, Jesus and what he said is not going to be superseded by all this. He's not. It's like, no, it's what I said is the truth, and you're going to stand judgment for that. And this, I remember this, and I wasn't a believer, and this was, in fact, this really tells how old I am. But in the, you see everything that's happening now. I mean, it's nuts, and it really is just crazy. But I've seen all this before. I really have. Me, personally, dear Wallace, have seen this. It's in the 60s. In the 60s. I mean, I was 16 years old in 65. Now you can figure it out. Or something like that. All right, and I was in a place where it really wasn't happening. It's kind of rural, but they had the pictures on TV. They were burning down everything. They were saying, get rid of the police. Get rid of the police. They even killed a couple of policemen in New York. They actually killed them in police. I can't believe what's happening now. Why not? They've done it before. To get rid of the police, you know, take away the police's gun. Take a, you know, that insanity was in 1965, 66, 67, burning everything down. Everything. See? The same thing. Which, I can't believe this is happening now. Why? It happened then. It happened then. I remember, I wasn't a believer. They had a thing with the college, and they had to think, God is dead, you know, the God is dead movement. And, you know, I wasn't even sure, you know, what they were talking about, you know. And they got this kid, and they had a vote in church, and it says that they didn't believe that God could understand calculus if he existed. And I'm thinking, I think maybe if he is God, he could probably understand calculus, you know. I mean, I'm just an unbeliever, and I thought, well, that's interesting. But that's what was going on in the school system. By the way, all you all people that just going broke to send your kids to school, I don't know. Then you find out whether God can understand calculus. But I'm telling you, it is a demonic movement that just repeats itself and repeats itself and repeats itself and gets worse. And gets worse. But everything they're doing now, they did in the 60s. The Antichrist. People did literally said the Antichrist was Reagan. Literally. I listened on, and just, I'm getting off base. But anyway, I was watching the news one time. So I'm an unbeliever watching it. And the guy saying, he was asked one of these news things, and he asked this, do you believe eternal life? Now, why do you ask somebody that? I don't know what they ask you. And the guy said, no. He says, why? He says, because I can't believe any place where there would be an eternal existence of Ronald Reagan. I mean, people have been nuts for a long time. Okay? They have. They've been nuts. And I'm going, well, that's a dumb answer. Okay, I'm not a believer, but I kind of like, well, that's kind of crazy. But what I'm saying, this nonsense is nothing just brand new. It's not. It's a repetition that's getting worse. It's getting worse like that. Billy Graham, here's a quotation from Billy Graham. They in the 60s, and oh, this is all new way, new morality, and that's what it was. It's new morality and, you know, free sex and all this stuff is coming in. And he asked Billy Graham about it. He says, what do you think about this new morality? And Billy Graham says, well, it's just the same old sin. I thought, well, now I understood that. I thought, well, that was good. But nothing's changed. What is going now? What is the new? No, it's the same old sin. There's nothing new. Don't act surprised. Don't act surprised. The Bible tells us. History tells us. And so what we want to do is to understand that God, that nothing's going to supersede Christ. Not in the 60s. Not now. It's not going to supersede Christ. God's hand is in control. I was telling Rich and Greg this story, and I feel prompted to tell you. You don't have time for a story, but I was watching that, and I was just, there's a kid that I knew his mother way back, you know, just a lot of history there. And so her son moved up here, and he's married, and has a lot of history with him. And so she called me up and said, would you meet with him? I said, yeah. So 2 or 3 years, I met with him, and, you know, just to walk through some stuff. Just interesting. Like you said, nothing new under the sun. And just the kids just... I mean, kid, he's got wife and 2 kids and a job, so, you know. Well, last night, I'm getting ready to go to bed, and it's like 10. Out of the blue, this kid texts me. And he says, how are you doing? I haven't talked to him, you know, 2 or 3 years. And he says, I just watched this thing on the Jesus music. It's the title, it's the Jesus music. And so you need to watch it. I said, okay, good to hear from you. Good to hear from you. How are you doing? You know, and he texts me, I'm doing well, but I really want you to watch that. Now, I know where this kid's coming from. You know, it's like if he watched it, he needed to watch something. I mean, I don't know. And so I thought, oh, right here. I just clicked on. Well, I didn't know it was like 2 hours long. And that's why I'm sitting and watch it last night. So at 12 o'clock, it's like, I can't finish. I mean, this is... kill it, but it's really good. And I encourage you, it sits on Hulu, the Jesus music on Hulu. You ought to watch it. But it gives a history of contemporary music all the way. It's fascinating. I learned some stuff I didn't know. But one more jump ahead, so you can watch. I highly recommend the Jesus music. That's just the title. Hulu, I'm sure some of the other places have it. I just wrote in Jesus music, popped it, there it was. But it goes through all these... You know, they're talking to all these people who started out in the late 60s and 70s. Well, they're old people now, but they're talking to these musicians, and it's fascinating, and to how we got to where we are now. Well, they come to, and what I'm sharing about this is that God has things in control. We think they're falling apart. We think everything's falling apart now, which visibly it is, but God knows what's going on. Michael W. Smith had been up into the 2000. He came on towards the end. I went to bed at midnight. I just like that. Linda says, you got to go to get up and go. I can't sleep one more hour. She says, no, you can't. Okay, you got to get up. So I got up. Anyway, so midnight, I just stopped, and there are about 30 minutes left, and I can't wait to go back and see the rest of it. But what it ended on was Dr. Michael W. Smith, and he just got burned out. And he said, I'm not going to go to any more concerts. I'm not going to do any more music. This is just, you know, getting too commercial. I just got to step back and showed this place his farm was. Oh, I'd never leave that farm if I had that farm. Me and him could camp out there. That was a beautiful place. But he said, he said he is sleeping one night, and he's one of the people they talk to. I mean, there's like 20 or 30. I mean, he talked to, and that's why it's not music. They're talking to these individuals. And he says, I'm dead asleep, and I woke up and said, God said to me, he said, for such a time as this. And he goes, what are you doing? You know, what is, I'm dead asleep. And he said that God spoke to him that he should put together a worship album, a worship. And he made a comment, and you watch this. He said, all the things before were Jesus music. It was music about Jesus, just music. And worship was something a little different, where you offer up worship to Jesus. And so this, like 2000, something like that. And he goes, that's crazy. I'm not doing that. That's how much work that would do. I'm just not going to do it. Next night, he went to sleep, and he said he woke wide awake. And God, he said, for such a time as this. And he said, you know, maybe I better follow up on it like that. So what he did, and you've seen that, Michael, I can't think of that. Since I can't sing that song. But the Michael W. Smith, it's an orange cover, and it just kind of has things like the sun on the front of it. You see, there, it's a really, well, that's the album. That's the album he did. God, and he did that because God told him to. What is that song? It's All About Me. It's, you know, it's, I don't know how, I wish I could hum it for you, but I can't. Anyway, so he made that. Well, he knows everybody. He got all these Christian performers. They came together, and they made this album. It's like live, and they put it together. And then, you know, Amy Grant was there. I always found Amy Grant was the one who started Michael W. Smith. Did you know that? I didn't know that. Anyway, so there are all sorts of things you find. So you have this out. And so he said they got together. He says, unbelievable. And it showed them when they were making the album, how people just moved. They're on their knees. It just was an overwhelming thing. He said afterwards they went and prayed, and people were just crying and said they've never seen anything like that happen before in their life. But it's that one. You can buy it. I mean, I bet any of you have music. You have it already. You have it already. And so I'm watching it, and he said, all right, so we put this album together. And he said, wasn't it just for such a time as this? And, and so they put it, and they released it. They released it on 9/11. And the guy goes, do you think it was for such a time as this? I don't know. That's just when we released it. See, 9/11 wasn't a surprise. It wasn't. Okay. We're devastated, rightly so, the evil in the world. And God says, you're going to need this to get through this. You're going to need this music to get through this. He knows. See? Why are we worried? Why are we? God's never changed. He's never changed. And he will intervene proper time. He is moving. He is intervening. But it's all time. So it's like, and to me, and that's why I stopped watching. I said, oh my gosh. You know, doesn't it make sense? Just what's in here? Don't worry. But this is all I know. But I got it. Don't you worry. You're beloved and you're invited to the party. And Jesus is watching you. And he has custody of you. Don't worry about it. And says, by the way, I'll tell Micah W. Smith to write a song on it so you can offer me praise when it happens. So it's like, oh my goodness, my goodness. So what we have here, the past Christian faith will serve as a changeless pattern of living for all successive generations. Same thing. All the other stuff, it's just same old sin, dressed up. But Jesus never changes. And the final word at the end of this is really important, is amen, which is a Hebrew affirmation meaning so be it, so be it. So it's this, God is able, so be it, so be it. See, our foundation is firm, unchanging, and will be confirmed when Jesus returns. We are the invited, the beloved, the kept, God's treasure, possession out of all the peoples. You're the treasure possession out of all the, but they don't believe. Okay, well, share the gospel. But you are the treasure possession of all the peoples. That's who you are, and that's how God sees you. That's how God sees you. When we feel the world crashing down on us, you know, when we feel discouraged, feel helpless, we're supposed to fix our eyes on Jesus, who has his eyes on us, guiding us, protecting us. In fact, he's moving heaven and earth to protect us and guide us. Look up, persevere. God is able. I had to put that in. Just what that young lady said. You know, she goes, I'll never forget. I'll always forget. You said persevere, persevere. Because Jesus said persevere. So here we are. We are special. God made us special. We're his treasure possession. Out of all the people in the world, we're his treasured possession. That's what he's saying. That's the truth, okay? And so how did it get this way? And it, 1 Timothy 1:15. And this is how we get that way. 1 Timothy 1:15. This is how all of us came here. Paul said, the saying is trustworthy and deserving of full acceptance that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am the worst. You know, and then he became God's treasured possession. Yeah, he became, and he calls himself the worst. I mean, he killed Christians, you know, and God called him, saved the sinner. So, hallelujah, I hope we need to get this really down into your heart before next Sunday. Hallelujah. Let's just give God thanks. Let's just thank God that we are, and that's the truth, and I won't be dead serious. It's nothing to laugh about. We're God's treasure possession, and he is moving heaven and earth to protect us, guide us, and grow us, and teach us, and he wants us to have our eyes fixed upon him, fixed upon Him, as we have our eyes fixed upon Him, our thinking changes. And everything else looks different, and it helps us to get through the difficulties we have. But always know, you're the ones who are invited, and you are the beloved. You are the beloved. That's what God says about you. You are. No matter what anybody says, no matter what you think about yourself, God says, you are the beloved. Dear Heavenly Father, we just thank you for your word, and we thank you for the encouragement that you can say, we are the beloved. We are the ones invited to the party. You know, and you, Jesus Christ keeps his eyes on us. Lord, we just thank you for that. And so, Lord, we just pray as all these things come, you give us peace and, you know, mercy, you know, and the ability to show love and feel your love as we walk through this world and crazy things going on. But know that you are moving. You are powerfully moving. And so we trust in you that you're doing a powerful work, God. And it's just as the scripture says, you are able to keep us from falling. Nothing is impossible for God. And that's what we stand on. So we give you thanks, dear Lord, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.